With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply. Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose. You
know it's Taz and Moose. Hey. Coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, make sure to go out mortgage confidently. You've got Pete and Mike across the other side, Bogish, with your updates. Coming up about 20-plus minutes from now, we're going to talk to the Spanish radio voice of the Philadelphia Eagles, Ricky Ricardo, who had an amazing call of the Eagles' victory last Sunday in Chicago, wild card weekend, as they marched on to take on the Saints this upcoming Sunday. So we'll chat with Ricky, looking forward to that. But we've hit the top of the third hour. Let's get to it, the three.
It is now time for the three. We get you caught up on the three biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose. Number one.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers hire Bruce Arians as their next head coach with Todd Bowles in the mix.
Yeah, they certainly. Todd Bowles is going to be their defensive coordinator. They are, it's been well documented, they are best friends. I like the hire for Tampa Bay. As long as he physically can do the job, Taz, he's in his late 60s, signs a four-year contract with an option for a fifth. We know he had health issues out in Arizona, which led to him leaving that job. I think he's a two-time AP Coach of the Year, as he did in 2012 and 2014. He's got a relationship with Jameis Winston. I think it's a really good hire by Tampa Bay, as long as he physically can do the job.
Yeah, I agree. I like you said, late 60s, 66 years old, Arians. And the thing is, he's been coaching since 1989. This guy's got a plethora of experience, and his staff is already set. And like you just said, he's got a connection already to Jameis Winston. You know, when Winston was younger, he went to he attended a football camp in Birmingham, Alabama, that Arians' son ran. So, and I read a quote earlier from Pro Football Talk. From Jameis Winston, this is Jameis talking about Arians. He said, he's one of the first people that gave me the dream of getting a Super Bowl ring, Winston said 2 years ago before the Bucs played Arians Cardinals. At the camp, he brought us his Pittsburgh Steelers Super Bowl ring and showed us all. That was one of those times when I was just like, man, I want to get one of those rings. So that's Jameis Winston. Now, who would have thunk it? His head coach is Arians. Hopefully Winston doesn't give Coach Arians here a lot of headaches with his off-the-field stuff, and hopefully Jameis straightened himself out, you know?
Well, this is it. I mean, Taz, this is it. They brought in a guy that's got a relationship with the quarterback. I don't know how many teams would have been running and clamoring for Jameis Winston to be the quarterback and face of their franchise with the off-the-field issues. He also doesn't take care of the football. They bring in a coach that had success with Luck, had success with Palmer, had success with Roethlisberger, has been a long-time NFL assistant, and has had success as a head coach. For Jameis Winston, this is a message to him. This is it.
Yeah.
We're doing everything we can to put you in the best possible position to be successful. We still believe in you as the player. We're bringing in a coach that's worked with all other future Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Right. Now it's time for you to get your act together. It's a good hire for Buccaneer fans, and for Winston, it's a message that he has got to get his act in order and play the level they expect him to play at.
Yeah, and you know as well as me, this guy Arians, he's not going to put up with any mess at all. He's a tough cookie. So, you know, he's probably a very old school, and you know, he's been around the game a lot of years, and there's really not much this guy hasn't seen. Let's be honest. And as you mentioned earlier, the Bucs put him through see his physical health.
Yeah, and they gave him a physical. Not only did they interview him, but they gave him a physical.
Yeah, just to make sure, because he's an investment. He had some health issues. He's in his mid to late 60s, so you got to make sure he's a tad overweight. So you got to make sure he's okay, because he is an investment. So I get it. But you know what? Good luck to the Bucs. Hopefully it works out.
And you mentioned it. I mean, Arians not only impressed in the interview, passed the physical, but walked into the building with his entire staff ready to go.
That's tremendous. Just picture him walking down the corridor with all his coaches. You know, like, what's that movie when they did that?
Walking
down Reservoir Dogs.
Oh, Reservoir Dogs, right.
How's that?
Yes, that's a good one. That is. Walking down the street.
Or wearing Buccaneer hats.
It's like Mr. Pink and Mr. Yeah, right? Yeah. That was Reservoir
was that
Dogs.
I think that was. Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes.
I always mix that with some crazy reason with Clockwork Orange. Did you ever see that?
No.
That was a crazy movie, man.
I have not seen Clockwork Orange.
Oh, yeah. That was probably the last movie I saw from 1979. All right, here we go.
Number two.
Cliff Kingsbury is the new head coach of the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah. Well. There it
39
is.
39 years of age. I'm sorry.
Mr.
White, Mr. Orange, Mr. Blonde. Yes, yeah. Steve Buscemi.
There it is.
Steve Buscemi was Mr. Pink.
He was. I knew
that's
he was
it.
So that was Reservoir Dogs.
That is a crazy movie.
That was a crazy movie.
That
has nothing to do with Cliff Kingsbury.
No, Michael Madsen in that movie.
He's
crazy.
You guys ever see that movie back there?
I have not.
You should see that movie. You guys should both.
I haven't.
Yeah, you should check that movie out.
First thing I do when I get home.
Netflix Jones.
By the way, I saw A Star Is Born for the first time.
The one with Bob Streisand?
No, the new one. Bradley
There's a
Cooper.
New one?
Yes. You know that.
How was
Stop.
It?
Oh, with Lady Gaga's?
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Excellent.
Was it really?
It's excellent.
It's a love story.
Yes.
I'm going to see it Saturday.
It's an amazing. Your wife will love it. It's an amazing movie.
Oh, you guys got to stop. Because now my wife, she hears this. Why are you not taking me to go see this? We're
going
to watch football.
You should go. You should go. Honestly.
Smoke cigars, pack a lip.
You should go.
Football.
No, you don't need. Are you?
I'm very one-dimensional. You know.
No, are you checking your emails? I'll explain to you in the break.
Oh,
you're not paying attention.
What did I miss?
I'll tell you during the break. I can't tell you on
emails.
The air.
All right.
I'll tell you during the break.
You got me thinking.
You're not paying attention.
I'm not. I'm definitely not.
By you saying that, I'm not. No. So we'll get...
Something very important.
But your wife would love it. It's brought to tears at the end of it.
Oh, I don't. Then I'm not going to see that. I have enough misery in my life. I don't want to cry.
It is a great movie. The music is fantastic. It's a great movie.
Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga. She's unbelievable.
Here's the thing. Listen,
Bradley Cooper is great.
He's a handsome man.
Listen. You guys are all soft.
That's Sam Elliott was great.
Number two. Before we talk about Kingsbury, here's the thing. Like I'm just saying.
How am I going soft? It's okay to cry if you're a man.
That's all right. But I
love crying.
I don't mind crying. I don't like
crying. I weep every day.
In movies. I don't like TV shows, movies that are sad. That's why I watch sports, because I don't cry unless I'm watching Bills.
See, you want to come across a big tough guy. There's a little softy in
it. Oh, there is. I know there is.
You can get emotional. I don't let your emotions go.
I would cry in a movie like a baby. I'd sob. But I don't want. Why? I have enough misery. I don't like
it
sad stuff.
It feels good. It's a release.
Yeah, it feels good to let it go. To feel that emotion.
But that's why I do meditation, namaste. That's why I do that, because I let it go there.
I understand you can do all that, but you should not watch this movie because you're afraid of crying. And you might not cry.
God, I hope my wife's not listening.
I did. I connected. You should go.
Connected?
Uh-oh. You see, connect to the movie, it's really whether or not you connect
and get
older.
We saw the commercial on TV recently. My wife's like, wow, this looks really good.
Oh, it's a great year.
And I kind of sombered slowly out of the room.
My wife watched it last night, and she was like, it's amazing.
My wife hates movies. I'll go with your wife, Taz.
Your wife hates movies?
She hates movies. I'll go with your wife.
No. My wife would kick your ass. That's the first thing.
Mike's just going to watch a movie.
Yeah, my wife would not go to movies with him. He's a weirdo. That's his gimmick. You know.
But Mike showed up to the door with Leon?
Yeah, he's...
Meow, baby.
Yeah. All right. Well, the movie's starting in 25 minutes.
The gargoyles.
You got to get there early.
I just checked Waze. We'll get there in 12.
The gargoyles on my gate. The gargoyles would jump off the fence if they saw Leon and they would attack
him. I would love to see that picture. Anyway, Cliff Kingsbury, 39 years of age, is the new Arizona Cardinals head coach. And we chat a lot about it, delve deep into it at the start of the program. A couple hours ago, Taz. I like the hire. I'm not going to hate on Kingsbury because he's a good-looking guy. I'm not going to hate on Kingsbury because he went 35-40 at Texas Tech. I'm not. He's a great offensive mind. Teams, including the Los Angeles Rams, wanted to bring him aboard as a consultant. Andy Reid and his staff went to Texas Tech to try and bring some of his offense to Kansas City and work with Patrick Mahomes. I get that everyone's trying to find the next Sean McVay, and it might ultimately fail. I don't think there were a lot of guys looking to run that were established guys in the NFL looking to run to Arizona after what happened to Steve Wilkes after 1 year and then him getting fired. And for Kingsbury, It's an amazing rise to get fired at Texas Tech, O's offensive coordinator at USC, be finally given clearance to get interview for head coaching jobs, and now he lands in Arizona. I get the hire because it's all about developing the quarterback, Josh Rosen.
Yeah, I also have no problem with it. I mean, I remember when Kingsbury played quarterback for Texas Tech under Mike Leach. I enjoyed watching the play. I thought he was a really good player, real good quarterback. Yeah, I understand. I'm with you on this, though. I like it, and I understand he doesn't. He was 35 and 40. And that's not really, you know. And like you said about USC, he was there for a cup of coffee. He wasn't even there, you know. Just he wanted out of there because he had this NFL opportunities in his interviews. I something tells me he's going to connect very well to Josh Rosen because they're both younger guys. Quarterbacks, and I could see that happening.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's what's been happening, right? We've talked about it a lot yesterday and today. The younger guys under 40, under 35, what have you, that are offensive gurus, that are it's the Sean McVay. This is the model that all these teams want, and you know I think it's a little bit blown out of proportion because you know, McVay's a great coach because of his personality, his intellect. It's not just because of his age, because he knows offense. He's a leader. You hear him talk. He's got that powerful voice for a guy that's a little man. But Kingsbury, we'll see. We'll see what he can do. He's got a lot of stuff he's got to work on there. That's a rebuild deal with the Cardinals. They stunk this past year. They got the number one pick in the draft. So, you know, and if things go the way people think, they'll get Nick Bosa from Ohio State. Awesome rush end. And that'll help them defensively for sure. They'll be a star if they go that route, or they can go. There's definitely going to be. We're not talking draft right now, but a defensive player is going to be the first pick. It's either Bosa or Quinnen Williams. But regardless, it's going to be a defensive guy. So you got to figure, unless you know something happens and they move around. I don't think most people aren't leaving that number one spot if you're the Cardinals. So that's going to help. That's going to help the team. Going to help the program. Going to help. You know, it's going to help Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah, and I think ultimately he's got to have the talent. Let's see what he can do. I'm all for trying something different. I get he doesn't have experience as a head coach, but the NFL is going more and more offensive, and you bring in a guy that can coach quarterbacks, that knows offensive football. His Texas Tech team, in terms of offensive efficiency, a couple years were in the top three in the nation. There's other reasons why he failed at Texas Tech, and nor would we look at what he did with the Red Raiders and ultimately be an indicator of what he could be in the National Football League. It could be a night and day difference, and you get why Arizona went this way. So Kingsbury, and he's fired up, and he should be, at 39 years of age, gets a four-year deal with an option for a fifth. He's the new Arizona Cardinals head coach.
Number three.
Warriors star DeMarcus Cousins set to make his debut on January 18th.
Well, there you go. We've talked a lot about Golden State early on in this year, Taz.
Yes.
You know, through the first 40 games here, 40-plus games of the NBA regular season. Because the fact that things have not looked right. Now, they signed Cousins in the offseason, had the ruptured Achilles last year.
He was out a long time.
Out a long time. And they brought him in because he's trying to win a championship. It'll be interesting to see now with the discord between Draymond Green and Kevin Durant. Now you throw in DeMarcus Cousins into the mix. How exactly is Steve Kerr going to make that work in Golden State?
Brother, I don't know.
It's a lot to make work, no?
It's a lot to unwrap, man. You got a lot of talent, a lot of egos, a lot of money being spent, a lot of expectation on these guys. Yeah, I mean, but we'll see with Cousins, you know, how he is. I mean, he's like we said, he's been out a long time, and you know, he's a big dude, and when you have Achilles tendon rip, that takes a long time. Nevertheless, you have that kind of size, that kind of body, the kind of muscle groups that are in his calves, his hamstrings, his quads, the size of his bone structure. I know it sounds weird, but that all plays into why it took so long. He's a huge human, you know. So now we'll see. We'll see what happens. Like you're saying about the attitudes and the egos, and can they all flow together and get along? Because the honeymoon's over for DeMarcus Cousins. I remember when he went to the Warriors, it was like a big deal. He was so happy, blah, blah, blah. Now he's been sitting out, so, you know, the honeymoon's over that he's a part of the squad. And we'll see what the Warriors, you know, they're sitting at 27-14 right now. So, and, you know, we've always felt like, and everybody felt like, well, it's a foregone conclusion. No one's going to beat them. But they've hit some potholes here, so
They have. Now you got to mix Cousins into the mix, as Kevin Durant still doesn't want to talk about his future, focused on this year. We'll see if he ultimately does decide to leave Golden State during the course of the summer. And that's going to be a fascinating story to follow. But the Golden State Warriors are trying to win a championship for and win yet another title this year. And we'll see if they can get it done. They're now going to throw in a really, really good player when healthy into the mix, into DeMarcus Cousins, who went to Golden State not to get paid. He went to Golden State to win.
Right.
And he's going to step in that role, trying to help them win basketball games. So it's all going to start January 18th.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, as the NBA always is.
Ricky Ricardo, Spanish voice of the Philadelphia Eagles, is going to join Taz and myself. We're going to do that next. It's a Wednesday morning right here, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Ricky Ricardo, voice of the Eagles, going to join us. Spanish voice of the Eagles will play his call here momentarily. Andrew B. is in the house. Final time this morning. What's up, Andrew?
Guys, this report is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Another reminder last night that Zion Williamson is better than us at basketball.
Jones to the right and Reddish lobs it over the top to Williamson. Nice catch and a better finish off the right side with the left hand. He's got 30. That's a new career high here at Duke.
David Schumann on the Blue Devils IMG Sports Network. Williamson didn't score again. His top-ranked Duke rolled to an 87-65 win at Wake Forest. That's their first true road game of the season. Number 3, Tennessee handled Missouri on the road, 87-65. Sixth-ranked Michigan State down Purdue, 77-59. South Carolina surprising number 14, Mississippi State, 87-82 in OT. And number 18, Kentucky, got away from Texas A&M, 85-74. This game is why I don't bet. Kentucky was about to cover at 85-71. The line was 13.5. But then an A&M player hit a half-court shot at the buzzer for 85-74.
That's a killer.
Killer. I mean, you're at the window with your ticket.
That's awful.
As that shot's going down.
Duke won by 20?
22, 24.
Was it 24? So they covered. They were a 21-point favorite. They covered.
Yeah, good luck beating them, by the way.
Really?
No, they're just like,
They are. That's a kid. When you have that kind of a, just like the Cowboys and Seahawks.
Yeah.
10, you know, if you play that game late, the line moved to 2.5, and all of a sudden, because they don't have Janikowski, they're going for 2, and the Seahawks end up covering. If they have Janikowski, they kick the extra point, you end up covering. I mean, that's a killer.
It's a killer either way. My head can wrap around like an NFL team playing to the end of a game. But this kid last night, I mean, just for no reason, was like, let me shoot it, and it went in from half court.
Amazing.
In the NBA, the Clippers beat the Hornets in L.A. for the 9th time in a row because of their bench.
Prez scans the scene on the baseline, rumbles into the paint, below the dotted line, backing down on his defender. Now he fades and fires and fills it up. This kid is 32 flavors and then some. Fadeaways, dunks, and layups. Oh, my. 103-87 Clippers.
Brian Seaman on Clippers Radio. Montrezl Harrell, 23 points, 11 boards. Lou Williams, 27 and 11 assists, both off the bench in a 128-109 final over the Hornets. The T-Wolves won Ryan Saunders' debut as head coach, 119-117 in OKC. Nikola Jokic, 29 points, 11 rebounds, 10 assists. His Nuggets won in Miami, 103-99. The Sixers outscored the Wizards, 132-115. And the Warriors down the Knicks, 122-95. Off the floor, DeMarcus Cousins apparently targeting the 18th for his Warriors debut. Head coach Steve Kerr wouldn't confirm the exact date last night, but said Cousins is very close to returning from that torn Achilles. 3 NFL head coaching jobs filled yesterday. The Bucs got Bruce Arians out of his one-year retirement. The Cardinals taking the Cliff Kingsbury gamble, and the Packers finalized their agreement with Matt LaFleur late last night. The Broncos could pick at any moment between Bears defensive coordinator Vic Fangio and Steelers O-line coach Mike Munchak. And former Bucs head coach Dirk Cutter is once again the Falcons offensive coordinator. Finally, on ice, the Golden Knights topped the Rangers 4-2. Vegas has won 7 straight. New York's dropped 4 in a row. Guys?
El snap. Le mete el pie. Distancia, dirección. Le dio el poste. No, falló. No, señor. Los Eagles se van con la victoria. ¡Ay, papá! señor! ¡No, señor! ¡Chicago! ¡Chicago! ¡Nos vamos para New Orleans! ¡Filadelfia gana el partido!
There he is, the great voice of Ricky Ricardo, the Spanish play-by-play voice of the Philadelphia Eagles, joins us now. Hey, Ricky, Taz and the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning, bud.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
That was great, man. That was an unbelievable call, and all the buzz that you generated, well-deserved, my man.
I appreciate it. It's just one of those special moments. You know, this team just barely got into the postseason because of those very Chicago Bears on week 17. And then to have Nick Foles drive them down 60 yards, a fourth down play to score the touchdown. And then an ex-Eagle, let's remember Cody Parkey during the Chip Kelly days, was the Eagle kicker. So I called every one of his field goal attempts. I've seen him make big kicks, but I've also seen him blow big kicks. And I knew it was possible. But he made the first attempt. Doug Peterson froze him. Something happened in those 30 seconds during that timeout. And then the Eagles get a little fingertip. Hester gets a fingertip on it. You never know in Chicago when you get a little bit of a breeze in the Soldier Field there by the lake. Whatever it was, it all came together at just the right time for the Eagles to move on to New Orleans.
Ricky, I got to ask you, man, like before we get into asking more, you know, talking more about the actual Eagles and stuff. In these calls, like, you know, you're very creative and you're super, you know, your energy is great on the air and, you know, you just, you're great at what you do, man. And so I'm assuming this is all organic. You're singing Chicago, Chicago. Dude, that's got to, you're not thinking that ahead of time.
Well, no. First of all, Taz, you threw guys through my Spanish announce table on several occasions years ago. We can reminisce about that when I see you again.
Wait a minute. Really? Wait a minute. That's how I know your name. Oh!
There you go. We have a little history. Taz threw guys. I still have a splinter somewhere on my shoulder from the wood breaking on my Spanish announce table courtesy of Taz, and I love it. It's a badge of honor. But no, I have a little song. I go into every market that we play, and I try to figure out some way I can tweak some folks. So when we were in L.A. a few weeks ago, Wendell Smallwood scored a couple of touchdowns. So I started singing, "Hooray for Smallwood!" Everywhere we go, I just try to find a little something to entertain people.
That is great, Ricky. When you look at the way that this team played, you know, and talk about the love affair that this city now in Philadelphia has with their quarterback and Foles.
Oh, it's going to be a tough decision that I'm glad I'm not the guy that has to make it when it's time to part ways with this. How can you let this guy go when he's won every big game in the history of the franchise? You know, I got to thinking about this. Remember when Steve Young had all that pressure on his shoulders when Montana got traded to the Kansas City Chiefs? Until Steve Young won his own Super Bowl, he always had that shadow and that cloud hanging over him that Montana had won every big game for the Niners.
Right.
I think Carson Wentz, moving forward, if Nick Foles leaves, let's say he signs in Jacksonville, Miami, wherever he goes, you know, Carson Wentz is going to have that pressure. Every time he loses a game, people are going to say, well, Nick Foles would have won that game. Or if he, you know, doesn't complete a pass, well, Nick Foles would have completed that pass. Until Steve Young won his Super Bowl, and you remember, Moose and Taz, when he came off the field after that Super Bowl win, the first thing he did was tell his teammates to get the gorilla off his shoulders. Remember that?
Yes.
Get that big gorilla off my shoulders. Until Carson Wentz wins the Super Bowl, he's going to have that same kind of pressure in Philadelphia. We're talking about a guy that his teammates have erected a monument, a statue already outside the stadium, and an altar that they pray to inside the locker room already in the Nick Foles. So I tell you what, he could run for mayor right now. The guy I really feel bad for is Carson Wentz. Yeah. He's really the franchise quarterback.
Yes, it's crazy, right? I mean, I'd say after you saw what Foles did last year, but yet everybody, Wentz is the guy. But yet, you know, the success in when it matters in the postseason is coming from Foles. Let me ask you, Ricky, you know, what's the key, man, for the Eagles as they go down New Orleans and play in that tough, tough dome? How do they take the audience, those faithful Saint fans? How do they take him out if possible?
Well, first of all, we got beat there 48-7.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Week 11, all right? Now, there's some things that we can hold over from that game that might inspire the Eagles. Number one, you know, Sean Payton was still throwing the football in the fourth quarter when it was 45-7. Drew Brees was still chucking it down the field. So he kind of rubbed it into this team. I think the Eagles can use that as a little bit of motivation for a little bit of revenge here. But you've got to score early. I think the Eagles need to jump out in front on Sunday. Drew Brees hasn't played in a few weeks. He didn't participate in their last game. He was off last week. So you never know if they come in a little rusty, if they're a little bit off. If the Eagles score early, get out in front, and make that crowd start to worry a little bit, you never know. Foles' magic might reappear in the French Quarter.
You know, if you look at it, you think this game on Sunday is going to be a lot closer, tighter second half than obviously what we witnessed, the blowout Saints victory in the regular season, Ricky?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The Eagle defense has come together since that day. The one part of this thing that worries me is the secondary. You saw a lot of the double moves by the Bears receivers against the Eagle corners. Remember, the Eagles are playing with fourth and fifth string cornerbacks and guys that weren't even on the roster like LeBlanc, you know, halfway through the season. So they have really got to be careful in that secondary. Maddox on one side obviously got burnt on several occasions by the Bears receivers, and Drew Brees is watching the film of what Trubisky was able to do in the passing game. So if the Eagles have any intention, and obviously they do, if they have any intention of winning this game and moving forward, they're really going to have to tighten up in the secondary. But that defensive line has put a lot of pressure on opposing quarterbacks, and the Eagle offensive line has given Nick Foles enough time to operate against some of the toughest defenses in the league these past few weeks. Remember, you're talking about the Rams, followed by the Texans. Okay, maybe not so much with the Redskins. I'm sorry, Moose. Ryan Kerrigan is still a terror, and Kerrigan is the guy that knocked Nick Foles out of the game with the bruised ribs in Washington. And then last week you're talking about Khalil Mack and Goldman and Hicks and these guys on the Bear defense.
Yeah.
So kudos to the Eagle offensive line. They've done a hell of a job.
That's a great point because we've seen that for sure.
Yeah. Ricky, Taz and I were talking a lot about the Colts this year, and we had a discussion earlier about, you know, best quarterback and head coach combination of the eight that are remaining, and, you know, and Taz was extolling the virtues of Frank Reich. You know, you're familiar with Frank, you know, being a part of Peterson's staff in Philadelphia. You know, second fiddle out there in Indianapolis. Are you surprised at all the success he's had year one with a healthy Andrew Luck?
Not one bit surprised. I watched Frank Reich last year for a couple of years. Slowly but surely really instill a lot of confidence in Carson Wentz. Between DeFilippo, who was the quarterback's coach, and Frank Reich last year as the offensive coordinator, you know, it wasn't all roses for Frank. You know, the first year, it was a little bit, you know, it was taking a step back here. But Frank Reich, with a healthy Andrew Luck, is doing exactly what he did with Carson Wentz in the Super Bowl. Remember, Carson Wentz, before he got hurt last year, guys, I think we can safely say was the leader in the clubhouse for the MVP in the league. And
then obviously
both comes in and did what he did. But I think the maturity, the maturation process of Carson Wentz, a lot of it has to do with Frank Reich. So am I surprised that he's been able to do what he's done with Andrew Luck as this season has progressed? Absolutely not. I think he's a hell of a coach.
Ricky, let's shift gears, bro. Let's a little Yankee convo here real quick. Machado.
Yeah.
Do you think it happens? You think he goes to the Yankees or what?
You know, my gut is starting to tell me that if he was going to be a Yankee, he'd be a Yankee by now. I think the longer this thing plays out, the more desperate they get about 95 miles down the turnpike, because that fan base is demanding that one of those two big free agents get signed by the Philadelphia Phillies. The one thing that scares me about Machado going to Philadelphia is that they make him an offer he can't refuse, even though I think he wants to be a Yankee. But if you bring Manny Machado into the Yankee infield, somebody's got to go, and especially with Tulowitzki there. And I don't want Miguel Andujar to go. Didi Gregorius is such a big part of that team on and off the field, because in the locker room, Gregorius, in the clubhouse, is an amazing leader. You're not going to do anything on the right side with Gleyber Torres. So, you know, it's almost like it's an awkward situation. If you bring in this quality of a player, somebody's going to have to move. I think eventually the Phillies are so desperate to get a big name on their roster, they may overpay so much that Machado ends up going to Philadelphia. I could be wrong, though.
You know, Ricky, final one for me. You know, as you're calling Taz's matches in the ring, and you get a sense that the action is coming toward the Spanish, broadcaster's table, what is, as you're continuing to call the action, what is going through your mind at that stage?
Ay, Dios mío, in Spanish. That's what's going through my mind. Oh, my God. Here it comes. It was always a lot of fun. But I tell you, Taz, you know, one inch one way and one inch the other way.
Oh.
You know, something goes wrong, and I'm the one that pays the price for it.
Well, that's Abdullah, it.
I still have a cut from Abdullah the Butcher on my shoulder that I'll take to my grave.
Oh, my God. Where was that? Abdullah the Butcher. That's a blast from the past. Yeah.
That was a long time with Turner. That was a long time ago.
Oh, my God. Abdullah the Butcher. Yeah, man. He was, Moose, you're not, I don't know if you're familiar with
him. I don't remember.
That's
Abdullah
an old school,
Butcher.
Yeah, he was,
He cut me with his fork.
Yeah, he used to have a fork. Yeah,
of course. Yeah.
He was a really big, heavy guy from the Sudan, and he would wear his pants, like, right under his nipple area. And he was very overweight. And he had a fork, and he would just stab people with the fork. If you just Google the name Abdullah the Butcher,
he used to stab all the wrestlers with the fork
and announcers. Ex Ricky.
Now, is that a case where you have to have a conversation before you get in the ring?
No, back then, like I broke in, like, hey, that's Abdullah the Butcher right there. I'm showing him Ricky. I'm showing Moose a picture of what he looks like. Look at his head. You didn't really, guys like Abdullah and Abby, we called them, those guys didn't, there wasn't much conversations before the action. You just kind of just went out there
at all.
And wing it, you know, that's how it was. Yeah. He was crazy, man.
Yeah, no, the booker just told me, hey, keep your eyes open, dude, and that was it. That was about all the defense I had.
That's it. Mm-hmm. And because, and you know this, Ricky, like, you know, especially doing, you know, bigger shows up if you're doing WWE, you know, you want the, and I had this when I was a SmackDown color commentator for years and in TNA. You don't want to tell the announcers when the talent's coming over because you want that organic, oh my God look on the announcer's face as he's getting out the way. It makes for good TV.
And as you know, Taz, 9 times out of 10, the organic surprise comes where? The Spanish announce table.
Always. The Spanish announce table is always the victim.
Always. And I loved it.
Hey, Ricky, safe travels down to New Orleans, all right? Enjoy. Yeah. Have a good broadcast. And we certainly, great call. You do a great job with the Yankees and Eagles. And we appreciate the time this morning.
For New Orleans this weekend, my song will be, oh, when the birds go flying in. Oh, when the birds go flying in.
You're the man,
we'll have revenge on our mind in New Orleans when the birds go flying in.
Ricky, love you, brother.
I appreciate it,
man.
All right, take care, Rick. We go,
He's
buddy.
As good as it gets.
He's a good guy. Man. The ego's going to get smoked. Let's be
That is a great.
No, he's a great guy, but they're in trouble.
He really is.
Yeah, no, he is. We got to stay. That song. That's. Oh. I mean, he broke it here, right?
He did.
He broke that here.
He did.
Here's your clip. He broke that here.
If the Eagles win on Sunday, he'll be singing at the end of the game.
He will be. Hopefully, he said he sung it first on Taz and Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
We got the undercard coming your way next. It's Taz. It's Moose. It's CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Lot going on here. Lot going on.
Yes.
A lot of
CBS
login information.
Radio.
Lot of stuff.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes. You can save 15% or more on car insurance. Time right now to answer Ask the Pros. Question of the day brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question is from Tony in Dallas. You see my boy Jerry Jones' new boat. Don't forget, you can submit a question by going to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service. Where O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every single day.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, I saw the $250 million yacht, Tony, in Dallas.
What a life.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I would hope so.
It sounds like that drop we have. Oh, I just did that.
It's, inflection. It's amazing. Okay, that was a boat horn.
Boat sound, yeah.
Wow. Sound like a ferry.
This guy started out great. Today what happened. No. It's amazing. No, anyway, yeah, the thing is freaky amazing, this yacht.
Well, it has a helipad, a spa.
It's 360 feet, dude. I mean, listen, if you're going to buy a yacht,
yeah,
this is how you go. You go big. You go to this level. This is the type of yacht you need. Somehow, maybe the social media team can pump out a photo of it, Mikey B, on Instagram, right? I think we need to have the team build up the IG.
Well, the team would love to.
So they formally took ownership of the vessel December 20th.
Yeah.
Helipad, 360-foot yacht, $250 million price tag, dubbed the Bravo Eugenia after Jones's wife, Jean Jones.
Jean Jones.
Has a beach club gym. Mention the helipad. I mean, what can you say?
Dude, the thing is unbelievable. I mean,
it's a monster.
Mike says to me this morning, Mikey B, the producer, he said, "Oh, Taz, did you see the yacht by Jerry Jones? I heard." I said, "No, I didn't." He goes, "It's really nice." I would think for $250 million it would be. Yeah. I mean, the thing is gigantic, Boost.
Jerry Jones has got a personal net worth of $6.8 billion.
Jiminy crickets. I'll tell you what, if I had a yacht like this, I'd take it out by myself. Okay, I'd bring it out. I'd sail it out by myself. I'd sit on the nose of it like they did in that movie, like this. What was the movie?
It's Titanic.
Titanic, thank you.
Jurassic Park.
Everyone. No,
they all, Jurassic Park. Majority of them died.
Right, I would do that, and I'd pack a lip, and I'd smoke a cigar on this yacht. And I would just be like, you know, FTW to the world, baby. For the win.
I mean, it can get up to a top speed. I'm just reading some of the details.
Oh,
17
yeah?
and a half knots.
Wow.
Has a garage for water vehicles.
How many knots?
17 and a half knots.
I had a yacht that went with 15 knots.
Amazing.
And a spa complete with massage room and sauna.
That's, wow. It's unbelievable. I mean, where do you park a boat like this? I mean, where do you park this thing? Oh, where in Dallas is there water, by the way? I mean, you're living in Dallas, Jerry Jones. You got to make your own water.
That's a good point. Where do you go?
Where are you partners? You got to bring this thing down to like Corpus Christi. That's where you got to bring it. You got to bring it down. Where are you bringing the boat?
Maybe you park in the Bahamas or something. Where are you going? I don't know. I don't know where he's going with the boat. But
it's an Italian yacht designer.
Wherever he's going, can we get on it?
He don't want no part of us. What we've said about him on this show, we've ripped him.
Imagine being on that boat. What that
must
be like.
Mike, can you get us on this boat? Can you call Jerry Jones?
I'll put a request in to get Taz and the Moose on the yacht.
Get in touch with the PR guy there for the Cowboys.
Right, Rich.
Yeah, we need a yacht request.
Yeah. Hey, can we get on that boat?
Tell him we'll give him a cigar.
How about this? We'll do a live remote from his boat.
Oh, imagine that. Now that's something.
You would go. That would get out of your house to get on that boat.
Glasses came on, like, whoa, wow.
Yeah, I just peaked Taz's interest.
Like, whoa.
You can't get him there for Super Bowl week, but can you get us on the boat? Yeah, we'll do shows from there.
We're going to sail through the
We'll do a Bahamas, week's worth of shows. I'll do four podcasts.
Oh, my God. That would be the most chilled shows. We would be so
Oh, my God,
back.
It would be great.
I would be drunk nonstop, just showing drinking
up.
Vodka.
Yeah. Right, Bilotti walking around shirtless.
Yeah, he's
playing his drops.
He would be drunk, too, right? Pete, you'd be drunk, too?
Oh, before I got on the boat.
Yeah, drunk doing drops.
That would be a, I mean, it's what a life. Good, God bless.
You can even, hey, you know what? You can even bring,
he's one in life. I mean,
hey,
Jerry
Mike,
Jones.
You can even bring your little silly-ass cat, too. Bring him Leon. Bring him Leon.
The Cowboys, he's valued at $6.8 billion. I mean, he just bought a $250 million yacht.
It's unbelievable.
It's God bless.
It really
360-foot yacht. Amazing.
This guy's got no worries.
No worries. Let's get to the underdog.
Let's get to the underdog.
I'm depressed.
Me too.
Taz and the Moose present the Undercard. The stories from today's rundown that we haven't talked about on the show.
All right, Mike, where are we at?
We've talked a lot today about movies. So how about Dabo Sweeney was asked after winning the national championship, who he would like to play him in a movie. His answer was Matthew McConaughey. A couple, couple parts here.
I can't stand
One,
that
do
guy.
You like him as Dabo?
No.
Two, who should play Saban? Three and four, who would play you guys?
Whoa. A lot of info here.
All right.
First of all, I don't like the McConaughey. Stop with the
I'd
long
go
horse.
Bradley Cooper.
For who?
For Dabo.
La. I would go Chris Christopherson.
Stop. What is this, a Western? Are you playing a country music singer? Come on, you can't go. Chris Christopherson's like 75 years old. It's not 1982.
Beer or no beer?
You said Stars. Was he in Stars, boy?
What?
The original? Who was the original?
I didn't see the original. You might be right.
I did see the original. I was younger. I was a kid.
I don't know. I didn't
Mike's
see
checking.
That.
Mike, I think it was Chris.
You're probably right about that. I would not deny that.
He should play Dabo.
I'm not really sure.
I think his last movie was Follow That Bird in the 80s.
Cherno's cracking up when he heard that.
Chris Christopherson.
Either that or he's looking for my release.
In 1976, Star is Born.
I was right. Look at that. See that?
There you go. Very nice.
So I would say Chris Christopherson plays Dabo.
Okay.
And you're like,
I'd go Bradley Cooper for Dabo.
Go up Sabins.
I would go. A young Al Pacino?
Oh, you read my mind. I'm not kidding. I was thinking that. But I was just to say an old Al Pacino. But no Al Pacino. I want to be different than you. So I would say maybe Brad Pitt would play me. Because she wanted to know Mike would be who would be. Saban could be a young Al Pacino.
Right, and
you would be, I don't know. You're your own distinct man. I'm not, I don't know a lot of actors.
Well, yeah, I mean,
I'm bad with the actors. You know
someone
that.
Said, I suck Eddie at them. Coleman once said I looked like Chris Penn before he died.
I'm laughing because, what kind of a, that's funny. Like, when someone says before the guy died, that's the worst compliment you could ever get from anybody.
No.
I think The Rock would play you. The Rock would play
you. Thank you very much, Taz.
Robert Downey Jr. would play Nick Saban. Matt Damon would play Taz.
Yeah.
No, George Clooney would play Taz. Rock would play Moose. This really sucks.
No, it doesn't. No, I would
Will
think,
Smith but maybe should play. No.
You know what would be hilarious, though? But if we actually had the, you had George Clooney playing you, The Rock playing me.
Yes, I love it already.
And then we're at the premiere of the movie, and you know how they bring out the real person that'll sit next to him? How the hell did they come up with those guys?
Yeah. It's like, humana, 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 humana.
Right. Right. The Rock's playing the guy that doesn't look like he hasn't worked out a day in his life.
Maybe Jack Nicholson plays you. He's older than you, though.
Yes, I realize that.
He's a lot older than
He's
you.
He's like 85 years old.
And maybe Clint Eastwood could play me. No, that won't work.
No, all right.
Maybe we should move on.
No.
You want to keep going? Christian Bale could play you, Moose.
Christian Bale, yeah.
And Leonardo DiCaprio could play me.
I see
DiCaprio.
It.
I can see that.
DiCaprio.
Yeah.
Second Titanic reference.
Yes, that's exactly right. Titanic, great movie.
Second Titanic.
I'm the Jerry Jones story is depressing.
Yeah, that boat. That's just the beyond. That's beyond boats.
It really is.
That's not even a boat.
That's not a boat.
Freaking rocket ship in
right,
the water.
That's your own island.
Unbelievable.
Must be nice. Mike, good job. Pete, good job. Ricky Ricardo for joining us earlier on the program. Bogish as well. Download the podcast, radio.com, Apple Podcast. Taz, enjoy your Wednesday.
You too, sir. You and thank you, everybody who listens.
Till tomorrow.
Us.
Peace.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.